set me free. I know my God has smiled on me. He's been good to me. He is the source. He is the source of all my joy. He fills me with his love. Everything that I should need, he sends it down from above. Yes, God, oh, he's smiled on me. He has set me free. I know my God has smiled on me. Smile on me one more time. God has smiled on me. He has set me free. I know my God has smiled on me. He's been so good. He's been good to me. Amen. You can be seated. You say, Brother Jay, is there precedent for this? There is precedent for this. Led by the Spirit of God. I remember when Sister Lois was sick. God said, we ain't got time to play around. Let's get her the word while we can. That's the most important thing.
Amen.
So I'm still led by the Spirit. I'm not out of favor with God on this. I'm right there in what it is. I want to sing just one last chorus, and then I'm going to be preaching. Let's sing page 233, Didn't I Walk on the Water? This is a song I love. It's gotten me through. We'll sing this song. Maybe we need to sing the verse to get to the chorus, but either way, it's a beautiful song. It's page 233, key of D. Amen. As I kneel in the darkness, in the middle of the night, I'm praying for assurance, everything's gonna be Lord, I see another battle out in front of me. Hallelujah. I'm afraid I won't be able to go down in defeat. And he said, I walked on the water, I calmed the raging sea. I spoke to the wind, and it hushed, and I gave you peace. Didn't I run to your rescue? Didn't I answer when you called? I walked right beside you, just so you wouldn't fall. Didn't I leave all of heaven just to die for your sin? I searched until I found you, and I do it all again. Let's sing that again. And he said, I walked on the water, I calmed the raging sea. I spoke to the wind, and it hushed, and I gave you peace. Didn't I run to your rescue? Didn't I answer when you called? I walked right beside you just so you wouldn't fall. Didn't I leave all of heaven just to die for your sin? I searched until I found you, and I do it all again. One more time. And he said, I walked on the water, and I calmed the raging sea. I spoke to the wind, and it hushed, and I gave you peace. Didn't I run to your rescue? I walked right beside you just so you wouldn't fall. Didn't I leave all of heaven just to die for your sin? I searched until I found you, and I do it all again. Let's bow our heads. Lord Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity tonight to get together with believers and fellowship in the Word one more time, Lord. Lord, we come here as humble spirits, just anxious to hear what you have to say. Because we know you have the words of eternal life. Where else could we go but to hear, Lord? Lord, you've always answered our prayers. You've always been here. This is a source of a sanctuary that we know we can get the answers. Lord, tonight, open the scriptures. Remove the distractions. Remove any kind of burden or weight that so easily beset us. Let us hear the word so that way we can leave here and say, didn't our hearts burn within us? Lord, we're still expecting Sister Anna's healing. Lord, continue to bless the Brinkmans. Lord, I'm throwing my hat in the ring. Continue to bless me. Lord, continue to bless the bride around the world, Lord, and bless this service. May it be edifying. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. It's so good to be here. Now, I got a couple announcements here. You guys saw the announcements for the baby shower, and then we're getting together on March 17th as well. We got Brother Jeremiah is going to be preaching at Little Bethlehem. And then this Friday, Pastor Moore is going to be doing a funeral service for Sister Jan's mother, Minnie Pope. So Friday, the 24th, and that's going to be in Miamisburg. So Pastor Moore is going to be doing that funeral. So God bless the family. We know that's just a temporal thing. Oh, I love that message Pastor Moore preached. Amen. Temporary versus eternal. Yes, yes, yes. Because it sets everything in motion. Right. You know, I just was thinking about that song and get teared up a little bit because only what's in you comes out, right? And so we were going through different stuff and all this different things, even myself. And you get to where you're just sitting there and you just want to only be surrounded by believers. You're like, I can't even pray if you're going to doubt everything. I can't even see God if you're going to keep doubting everything. Just all the hindrance, get out of the way. If you're not a believer, just step out of the room. If I got to pray by myself, I'll do it. But I can't be surrounded by unbelief. Because when I want to pray like a believer, I don't want any distractions. I don't want anybody to say, well, what did the doctor say? I don't care what the doctor say. What did they say? I don't care what they say. We're going to pray like believers, and that's the only thing I can tolerate. So I'd hum that song to myself. I'd say, didn't he walk on the water? Didn't he calm the raging sea? Didn't he run to my rescue? I just kept humming that to myself. Like, you can't make me doubt him. No. Oh, you can't make me doubt him. And that's what's got to come out. That's why it's important to learn a song. That's why it's important to learn a scripture. Because you can have something that you can hold on to. Oh, do I think you got to memorize all 66 books? No. Find something that'll help you. If you can just get one scripture, just hold on to that one. If you could get one song, hold on to that one. If you get one quote, hold on to that one. And then when you're going through something, you got something to hold on to. You got something to hold on to. You don't have some worldly denomination full of doubt, somebody's tradition, somebody's creeds that won't work. You got something that God said. And then you can hold God to it. See, that's the benefit of having something that God said, is that now you can hold him to his promise. I got to hold myself to it. God, I got to hold God to his promise. God, you said. God, you said. God, you said. If it looks dark, God, you said you're going to make a way. If it looks bleak, God, you said you'd make a way. If I don't see a way, it says you would make a way. It says you never leave me nor forsake me. So if I'm looking around and I don't see you, I need to circle the block one more time. If I'm looking around and it looks dark, I need to circle the block one more time. And that's how we got to believe as believers. And you know, that's what believers believe.
Yes.
And that's why I love so much that message talking about eternal things, is because when you got a revelation of eternal things, temporal things fade away.
Yes.
See, the church world will have you thinking this and that, and I'll get started in here, but I just was looking at this and I thought, my goodness, we've been blessed with some good preaching.
Yes.
We've been blessed with some balanced preaching.
Yes.
That'll get you right in the middle of the road, because see, you know, the church world, let me read a scripture first. And then I'm going to explain to you what the church world will do. Because Pastor Moore, he was preaching on eternal and temporal, and he spent about 97% of the message talking about the eternal, and that's pretty much where the focus should be.
Amen.
But I'm going to spend maybe 6 more minutes on the temporal tonight than he did on Sunday. Just because it just woke me up to what's going on in there. But let me read this scripture. It's Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 through 10. For by grace ye are saved through faith, and not by of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them.
Amen.
He did it. He did it.
Yes.
You can't boast in any of your works. You can't boast in anything else. God did it.
That's right.
Now let's talk about this tonight, because I'm going to go in that eternal verse temporal again. We'll just call it part two. You know, I was praising God to the brother. I told him, I said, you know, I haven't preached in a long time. I can preach once a month. I'll be all right if that's the schedule. You said rest. I can do that. I can at least give once a month. But no, I was just praising God. But I was looking at this and I thought, my goodness, you know, the church world, they'll have temporal things with eternal consequences. They really will. They'll have temporal things with eternal consequences. And they're so hypocritical that it doesn't even make sense. So I just was writing a couple of them down the other day, and I looked at it and I said, now smoking. Okay, now that's a temporal thing.
Right.
I don't care how long you do it. You smoke 50 years, it's still temporal.
Right.
When you die, that's the end of smoking.
Right.
So it's still temporal, but it's legal.
Right.
Smoking is legal.
Right.
You get to a certain age, you can buy cigarettes. When I was younger, I think I had a grandma that wanted cigarettes or something, and she could write down on a note and say, get me a pack of cigarettes. And you could go there and buy them. They were legal. They're legal now. But it has a drug in it that's addictive.
Amen.
And it can kill you. It can shorten your lifespan.
Amen. Right.
And church world will have you thinking you're going to go to hell for smoking cigarettes.
Right.
How is a temporal thing going to affect eternal destination? They're not even in the same line.
Right.
They don't go together. There's nothing eternal about smoking.
Right.
I won't smoke when I get over there.
Right.
You won't be able to buy cigarettes when you get over there.
Right.
It won't be legal over there. It will be non-existent. And I thought about that. I thought, you know, okay, cussing. Cussing is a poor form of communication that people use that don't have a good knack of the English vernacular.
There you go.
It's just a poor form of communication.
Amen.
I've seen it used in the military.
Yeah.
I've seen it used in sports.
Yeah.
I've seen it used in the police force. I've seen it used all the other places. I've been those places.
Yeah.
I've seen it used by people that are unlearned and uneducated.
Yeah.
And it's just a poor form of communication.
Yeah.
It's a temporary form of communication.
Yeah.
It will not follow you when you go over there.
Yeah.
You can't make something temporal eternal.
Yeah.
So you're saying, oh, Brother Jay, so you're telling me I can cuss? No, I'm telling you that if you do, you have poor communication skills.
That's right.
That's all you're proving. It's showing that you didn't take English seriously when you were in school. You have no other words to use. But maybe that's just how you were taught. Maybe that's what you learned. Maybe that's just where you're at. Get a book. Buy a thesaurus. Look at some synonyms. Learn some other words. Be more respectful. It can be changed. You can learn that.
Amen.
But it's still temporary.
Right.
It's still temporary. If you never pick up a thesaurus, if you never learn some other synonyms, if you never learn more words to use, it's still temporary.
Right.
That's an temporal thought that the church world will try to make you have eternal things.
Right.
That's not right.
No.
Thought about drinking.
Yeah.
Drinking is legal. I like to say legal because I want to make sure I'm putting, you live in America. You follow the rules. We talk about the speed limit and everybody jumps up and down and says, that's right. You can only go this amount because it's legal. That's the law. But then we talk about the other laws that the church world doesn't want you to take part of. And all of a sudden, it's eternal damnation. But drinking is legal. And done in excess, you will create some bad decisions for yourself. You can get DUIs, you can get health issues, you can mess up your family, you can mess up your house, you can lose your job. There's things when done in excess, even in the Bible it says don't do it in excess. But it's still legal. I like to throw that in there because I'm showing you how hypocritical the church world is. I'm not condoning any of this. I would hope that you wouldn't do these things. I would hope that you would have long life, long health, be healthy, all these different things, be a great example. Don't do this in front of your brother if it offends him. All these other things that the Bible says to do, I would hope you do that. So listen to the whole message that I say, you hypocrite. I'm telling you that you should do the right thing. I'm telling you that you should get learned. I'm telling you that you should be a good person. But if you don't, I'm letting you know it's still temporary. Don't put eternal and temporary together. They don't go together. Eternity is so high above temporary that it's not even in the picture. I can't even see temporal things. That's why I enjoy coming to church. When I get here, you start talking about my eternal destination, and guess what fades away? Bills, problems, health issues, kids, job, all the temporal things start to fade away. Any problem that I thought I had, I can line it right up and go, that's just temporary. If I have a death in the family, that's just temporary. If I lose this, that's just temporary. That's why I enjoy coming to the sanctuary. It's because God reminds me. He stirs up my pure mind by way of remembrance of what really I'm here to do. Those are just temporary. And you say, okay, Brother Jay, now, how are they hypocrites? Well, I got two examples for you. There's this pastor, and they're in trouble in the news now. Whatever news church people get in trouble when. It's not on the TV like Fox or CNN news. It's the church news. They got their own connection. Whatever they blackball Sandy Patty in, that station. Yeah, there it is. Yes. So this pastor, 6 years ago, goes and sees Beyonce. I know y'all don't know who that is, but that's just a worldly singer. Don't out yourself. You don't know who she is, but I read the story and I referenced her, so I saw it. So I'll break it down to y'all. So this pastor goes and sees Beyonce 6 years ago. Sends a message out on his or her social media. Had a great time at the Beyonce concert. Awesome. Loved it. Best song ever. Music was amazing. Now, 6 years later, he or she tells her congregation, Beyonce's a witch. If you listen to her, you're Satan. Only sinners listen to her music. Now, what's the justification there? You know what they say? I listened to Beyonce before I was saved. Before you were saved. Okay. So you had opportunity to get saved. You had time to get saved. God gave you 6 years to get your life together. But I get 6 minutes. That's how hypocritical the church world is. They could spend 20 years out there. Family members praying for them. Mama's praying for them. Family members saying, I wish you'd give your heart to God. 20 years out there drinking, cussing, swearing, running around, doing all these things. But you're supposed to give your heart to God and change tonight. Or you're going to hell. They don't even give you the same amount of time that they got. That's hypocrites. If it took him or her 6 years to get saved, nobody in their church gets 6 years. They got to be saved and sanctified and ready for service at the end of the service. When they give their heart to God, it's got to be that night. That's a hypocrite. That means you're not giving me the same chance God gave you. Right. If God truly gave you that timeline, why can't he give me that timeline? Right. If God truly worked on you for a little bit, why can't he work on me for a little bit? Yeah. I serve a God that's a builder. Amen. He doesn't just say, poof, there it is. He lets it build a little bit. He puts the seed in the ground and lets it grow a little bit. That's the kind of God I serve. So if you see God working on me, I'm letting you know I'm not where I ought to be. I'm not where I want to be, but I'm where I should be right now. I've got all the revelation that God can reveal to me right now. If I need more understanding, guess what? God will give it to me. He's the only revealer of the Word. He is the only revealer of the Word. I can't preach it nice enough. I can't not yell it nice enough. I can't read scriptures left enough. I can't give you quotes enough. If God doesn't reveal the Word to you, there is nothing that I can do for you. It'll never happen. Oh, Brother Jay, is there precedent for that? Yes, there is, Satan. You hypocrite. When Jesus went down to the hell with the keys to the kingdom, he didn't save anybody. He didn't save one person. Are you better than Jesus? Have you walked on water? Did you feed the 5,000? Were you the one that was given the words of eternal life for the day and hour that it was? Were you the Son of Man, the most vindicated prophet ever on the hour? Is that you? Did you have the keys to the kingdom? No. But yet, we'll walk around in this hell-filled world with the idea that we're going to save somebody. Now, let me say this too. I'm not here to debate. I don't have anything worth arguing about. I don't have anything to even trouble your mind as a problem. If you don't see it like I see it, fine. If you don't understand like I understand it, fine. If what I'm saying stings you, let it go. If how I say it offends you, I'm sorry. Give me a chance to say I'm sorry. I'll say it a different way if I get another chance to do it. But guess what happens when you get a little older and you start thinking your time is short? I just say what I gotta say now. I'm like an old man now. I was being polite when I was younger and I thought I had a million years to live. But when time flashes across you, you're like, I don't care. I don't care if you like me or not. Get off my lawn. Get off my lawn. God said it this way and it's just that way. If you can't take it, get out the kitchen. If this is too hot, walk away. If you can't stand the heat, just leave. Because it's only going to get hotter. I'm only going to bring it more and more strong. Because guess what? I want to burn you off. I'm cooking. I'm trying to clean the dishes. I can't do it in cold water. Let me heat this up a little bit. I'm trying to burn you off. I want you to get offended. I want you to look at, because guess what? You're going to have to look at every message I ever preached then. Because they all run together. They all dovetail together. And guess what? I'm standing right behind my pastor. So if you don't agree with me, you're going to have to tie it back to him. And guess who he stays behind? Right behind his prophet. So eventually you're going to have to say, Brother Branham, you were wrong. Eventually you'll have to. Now, how I say it, you may not say I speak with excellence of speech. There's scripture for that. Neither did Paul. So you're going to have to throw Paul out too. Well, Brother Jay, I wish you'd say it nicer. I wish I did too. But I ain't got time to say it nicer. I don't know how long I'm going to be up here. Might be 15 minutes, might be 20 minutes. I got to give you what I got. As fast as I can. But I look at this and I go, my goodness, we serve a real God. Because the more and more I look at this thing, I thought, man, that church world, they'll have everybody believing that these temporal things is going to send them all to hell when God ain't even looking at it. You know what? Brother Lockett said it right. You must be born again. You must be born again. Every soul that sinneth has to die. Every one of them. Now, this is where the story gets beautiful. Every soul that sinneth will die. Period. Will die. The wages of sin are death. Where we get the benefit is that our soul, our old soul, was annihilated on this side. Now this benefit starts to get a little bit greater. Because that old soul was annihilated on this side, we have the opportunity to rejoice in our new soul now. And because of that, we now get the fellowship on eternal things now. There's a group of people, a large group of people, that they will wake up to this revelation at the white throne judgment. Amen. Because that's when their old soul will be annihilated. And their new soul will come into manifestation then. But right now, blessed these pilgrims are that have the ability to rejoice in the truth right now.
Amen.
That's what we rejoice in, is the understanding that we have an eternal part in us right now. So now we can look at our flesh and say, that is just temporal. Now we can look at our spirit and say, that is just temporal. But until you have an understanding that there is an eternal part of you, you're going to have a sense of desperation where you're holding on to everything. Oh no, I can't get rid of my flesh. What am I going to do? What's going to replace it? Oh no, I can't get rid of my spirit. What's going to replace it? Oh no, let me just clean up my soul because I don't know what will replace it. That's what the church world does. But when you have an understanding that old soul must be annihilated, and you've got something waiting for you, now you can rejoice.
Amen.
That's an eternal part.
Amen.
That we get to rejoice in.
Amen.
That's our real gift.
That's the gift
of eternal life, is that you get to rejoice now.
Amen.
See, they'll rejoice when they understand it. Oh, there's a song, when we all get to heaven.
Right.
What a day of rejoicing that'll be.
Right.
But we can rejoice now.
Yeah.
We don't got to wait till we get to heaven. Yeah. We got an understanding now of what God wants.
Right.
We got an understanding now of what God's plan is, what God wants to do. We see the whole picture clearly now.
Amen.
Oh, my, my, my.
Amen.
See, we see too much.
Amen.
We see too much. God is eternal.
Yes.
Oh, my, my. Let me go over here. See, I was looking over here, I was looking at these scriptures and these quotes, and I thought, you know, every now and again, people, the church world included, they try to do God a service without it being his will. And that's their problem. They don't want what God wants. Now, over in trying to do God a service without it being his will, there's a story about David moving the Ark of the Covenant. You guys know that. It's an Old Testament story. There was a detail that I had missed. Now, as a young boy, I listened to all the Old Testament stories. I don't know how much my mom and dad paid for, like, these tapes back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
But it was like the Encyclopedia Blue tapes, and you could listen to all the stories. And it was, we listened to them all night. My brothers, as you can see, they didn't listen to them that much. But I'd stay up, and I'd listen to story after story after story. And they didn't want no part of it. They'd be like, those things scare me. And I'm like, no, I'm interested. I want to know. Little did I know, I need those stories. But there was a key point to one of these stories that they didn't mention in when they were telling it. So when David went to go move the Ark of the Covenant, that's a good thing. Like, Ark of the Covenant, where God, that was God's provided place of worship. That was the only way you could get a hold of God. David was like, hey, guys, we're going to go get that Ark. We're going to bring God back here in the house. We're going to rejoice. We're going to have a great time. David was like, I talked to the elders, talked to my captain of hosts, talked to all my guys. We're going to go get this done. Priest, we're going to have a revival. We're going to do all this. There's one part David didn't do. He didn't consult with the prophet. I had never saw that part. He never talked to the prophet about how to do it. See, had he talked to the prophet, now let's talk about the story, and I'll tell you what would have happened if he talked to the prophet. David decides to go get the Ark of the Covenant. He gets all the people together. Everybody's in agreement. David, you're so smart. You're so wise. Great idea. Let's all go get it. Everybody's rejoicing. All the people get together. They go down to go get the Ark. Well, the Ark, when they're carrying it, it shakes a little bit. Looks like it's about to fall. And the people are like, okay, they're following their leader. God needs their help. That's what David basically said. David was saying to the people, God needs our help to bring the ark back. God needs us to do it. He can't do it himself. He needs us to do it. So when it started to shake, you know what the people did? Let's help out David. Help out God. They reached up and touched it. God killed them instantly. Don't you touch me. I can do this myself. I'm God. Had he talked to the prophet would have said, hey, David, here's how you need to move it. He'd have said, hey, David, if anything goes this way or that way, leave it alone.
Right.
Don't touch it. It'll float if it needs to.
Amen.
That's God's provided place of worship. The prophet would have gave him specific instructions, and nobody would have had to die.
Right, right.
But see, the church world is the same way. Hey, we're going to go help God out. We're going to go save some people for God. Now, and I'm not against saving. Let me throw this out there. I'm not against saving. Go do you a good job. All that Jesus did got 120. So let that maybe be your benchmark. Jesus got 120. I'd let that be my benchmark if I was going to measure numbers. That's just all I'm saying. Saving time ended in 1963, though. The doors closed in 1963. God closed the door. Just like he did in Noah's day, God closed the door in 1963. That's all I'm going to say about that. But the church world won't consult the prophet on how to do things. God has a specific way on how to do things. He has a specific way on how to bring the word. He has a specific way on how to even get a minister. They won't consult God on it. They'll say, you know what I'm feeling led to do? Preach. You know what I'm feeling led to do? And then they'll consult their buddies. Hey, you think I should preach a little bit? Yeah, sure you should. Did God tell you that? I think so. I think he would like me to do it. Did God tell you to do this? I think so. I think he'd like me to do it. Well, what would the prophet say? Well, I didn't check with the prophet. I'm feeling led. I'm feeling led to do this. I'm feeling led to do that. Go back to the prophet. That's what you got to line it all up to. That's what we line up our scriptures to. That's what we line up our quotes to. That's what we line up our message to. Because in that way, you don't have to take nothing back. You don't have to say, oh, yeah, I was called to go there, but then I got there and I had to turn around. I see that all the time. See, I'm a big fan of only preaching as far as you can jump. I'm only telling you stuff that I've witnessed. So you can't take away my examples. I've got witness and reference points after all of this. I can tell you names and dates. I can tell you where people say, God told me to start a church and it closes. And I'm like, God told you to do that? He's got all those people out there to die? He brought you out there to bring confusion? That don't sound like God. Satan's the author of confusion. When God says to do something, it prospers. He'll make it make a way. If we ran out of money, he'll print some for me. He'll open. I've seen God open up a belly of a fish and have some money come out of it and say, give Caesar what's Caesar's. Amen. That's the kind of God I serve. Yes, see, I don't serve a God that goes backwards.
No.
I don't.
No.
When I see people going backwards in their life, you'll see it even in young men that are trying to be men. They keep making all these wrong decisions. Get a job and lose it. Do this and do it. Get a relationship, fall apart. What's happening? You're not led. You don't have leadership. You don't know how leadership works. You need to get a counsel. You need to consult the prophet. You need to talk to your pastor about some things so you stop taking so many steps back.
That's
just good common sense. That's just good common sense. You see people taking all these steps back, and I start wondering, I go, you're not led. Now, God can still work on them. It's still temporal. Still temporal. You lose all the jobs you want, bub. Still temporal. Don't pay your DPNL bill all you want. Still temporal. But this thing that I got here, it'll straighten out even my temporal stuff. This thing that this leadership that I serve, will even straighten out my temporal stuff. It'll clean up my pure mind. See, when you get this joy, it'll supersede everything. See, the joy I have, the world can't take it away. You get sick, it'll still ride in on it. You get where you can't yell out, it'll still whisper. You get where you can't raise your hand, you'll wave up your finger and say, the joy of the Lord is still my strength. Life can beat you down and you go, but God is still good. See, that's the kind of God I serve. I'm not wavering on things that are going good or bad. It doesn't matter what day it is. I need God just as much on my good day as I need him on my bad day. Whether I'm in the hospital or at the bank chasing a check, I still need God. See, the church world will have you only wanting God when things are wrong. I need God when things are right. I need God when I don't even know what's going on. I need God all the time. And you know what? You can't make me love God.
No.
Pastor Moore said it years ago, and I hold on to it. You can't push a rope. You can't push me into loving God. I really love the Lord because I love the Lord.
Amen.
You're not going to sing a song loud enough to make me loving. You're not going to yell at me loud enough to make me loving. You're not going to preach hard enough to make me loving. I love him because he loved me.
Amen.
And that's a personal revelation that I have with God, whether you fall off or not. I don't care. I'm serving God for me.
Amen.
Oh, my. See, it's personal. And because it's personal, we can come together with one mind and one accord with that same understanding. That's our common denominator. That's a little bit of math for you. That's the thing that keeps us all together. That's the leveler right there. You love the Lord. Oh, somebody loves God. I can't, whatever they need. If they got temporal issues, I see that they're just temporal issues. These church world, they're so hypocritical. They'll walk away from you on some temporal issue and then pretend they love the Lord. That's crazy. It's crazy to me. Like I can't make it make sense. You got people that address like Christians and then tear you down. Talk about you. Want to ruin your family. And go home, put their hair up in a bonnet and put on a long dress and say, you know, I just want them to be godly. I'd love for you to be godly. It says show love for your brother. That way all men will know. That's what the Bible says. Why don't you read that scripture? My goodness, I got enough enemies in front of me. I don't need somebody behind me stabbing me in the back. But that's the church world. Anyway, trying to do God a service without it being his will. Now let us read over this paragraph. Paragraph 54, it says, no matter how sincere and what good motives and what good objectives and how people want these things and see the need of it, there is a will of God to be carried out in these things. That's what I drive down tight. For I want to make this so that you have to see it. If the Spirit of God dwells in you, and that's the reason I'm lingering so long here, not taking you people's time on the telephone and on the hookup, but I want you to see it. That the Spirit of God dwells in you. Let me go here. It says, and if I run out of time, then get the tape that there. No matter how much it's needed, no matter how much everybody agrees that it's needed, how much that it, there is the truth, there is yet one thing to find out. Is that the will of God? No matter how many abortion clinics need to be closed, no matter how many drunks need to be cleaned up off the street, no matter how many cussing sailors you need to change, find out one thing. Is that the will of the God for right now? Because if that's not the will of God, you are trying to do God a service without it being his will. Now, the simplest example is you're trying to build an ark when God don't need an ark. That's a simple example there. You know, sometimes we say, you know, quote unquote, we save somebody. That doesn't even mean they love God. I got you another quote over here. Souls that are in prison. It's paragraph 27. This is talking about God brought the children out of Egypt. And I had never read it like this. Because God brought the children out of Egypt because he promised he'd bring the children out of Egypt. But not everybody that came out of the children that came out of Egypt went to the promised land. Here we go. He says, and this is over in Jude, he says, I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterwards destroyed them that believe not. Amen. Paragraph 27. Save them first. Brought them out of Egypt, and then had destroyed them because they didn't continue with their message. You have to progress. You've got to keep up. You've got to. That's the benefit of being on this eternal line, is that you can move. You can move. You got the ability to keep up with God. As God moves, you should move. It's not enough to have Brother Branham's quotes and stay right there. It's not enough to listen to the tapes of 54. You need to move and keep up with God, or else you're no better than the children of Egypt that came out and didn't go into the promised land. You're just wandering around in darkness, walking in circles, doing the same 6 and 7 that you were doing last year, that you did the year before, that you did the Easter before, that you did the Easter before. You need to move. Amen. Oh, Brother Jay, what are you getting at? Oh, I get that maybe you read the same quote I read. Maybe you read the same scripture that I read, but there better be a new twist on it every time you bring it. Amen. Oh, there's only 66 books in the Bible. Of course you're going to read a scripture that I've read before, but you need to move forward. Yeah. My message can't sound like last week's message. As much as I love eternal versus temporal, if I came up here and repeated Pastor Moore, that would be stagnant water. Right. That wouldn't do you any good. I can't get his notes as great as I love them, as much as I love to hear my pastor. But if I went through and read his notes, I'd kill you. Amen. Why? It's got wiggle tails in it. You got to move. You need a message for tonight. God moves by inspiration. He moves in the foolishness of preaching. And if you don't have that, you don't have God. It's too many scriptures that back it. It's too much word that says that you got to have a present tense God. He didn't say I'm the God that was. I didn't say I'm the God that will be. He said I'm the God that is. I am present tense. Oh, my. And God don't need your help. All that he called. Let's read that scripture. St. John 6, 37 through 40. All that the Father hath given me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. See? Stay there for just a second. Church world. I like reference them as a church world. It's a broader group than saying message people. Right. Makes them feel better. See, there's this thing that people can do. And Brother John, maybe correct me on the term. It's like where they can like hit themselves. Flog them. They flog themselves. That's their way of paying penance. They're paying for their sins. That's a made up tradition. God don't care. But they'll beat themselves. And they'll get all these marks. And that's their pain that they suffered to overcome. Right. And if you come to church and you get over stuff without all those marks, they get a little bit upset. How are you serving God with no marks? How are you not a slave? Where's your beatings? How'd you get free without getting whipped? How are you not flogging yourself continually? Before you were saved, you had this problem. Before you were saved, you had that problem. You should have at least 100 welts on your back. They want you to have went through the pain that they went through. Well, I'm sorry, you hypocrite. You made up that punishment. And you punish yourself. God didn't tell you to do that. He said, my burden is light. My yoke is easy. He's made a way for me, and I'm free. I have no strings on me. He set me free. So if you want to put a leash, a chain, pittance, this or that, I can't accept it. You can't put me in a fence. You can't put me in a barnyard. You can't put me in a crate. I am free. I was born free. So I don't have those marks on me. I'm sorry. I'm an 11th hour worker. There's nothing left to do. The prophet said, I'm just sitting in the sun ripening. So if you had to work, great. If you had to go through it, fine. But I don't. I'm sorry. Be jealous. Be whatever. But this is my lot. You got to get mad at the maker. Who are you to look at the potter and say, why did thou make me thus? He put me in this spot. I'm sorry that I live under one of the best ministries. I'm sorry that I live in the golden age. I'm sorry that I got the best leadership. I'm sorry that I got a revelation at a young age. I'm sorry that I know I got eternal life and temporal things don't bother me. I'm sorry that when I walk through this world, it doesn't have a hold on me. I'm sorry that when you get down, it doesn't affect me. I'm sorry that when I go to funerals, I know I'll see my loved ones again. I'm sorry that when the truth comes, it just says yay and amen. But as for me and my house, I'm going to serve the Lord. See, the church world wants to bring you in and beat you. They want to go, okay, yeah, whosoever will, get in here. And now we're going to beat you. Whosoever will, lock the doors. Check the skirts. Beat them. Whosoever will, what are you wearing? How strong is your perfume? Let me see your hair. When'd you last cut it? Better be before you got saved. I'm sorry. For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. Amen. And this is the Father's will, which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing. Come on. Amen. Doesn't sound like he needs any help. Yeah. but should raise it up again in the last days. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. That sounds pretty simple to me, Pastor Moore. Believe on he whom he has sent, and you'll be all right.
Yeah.
Well, Brother Jay, what about all that other stuff? What about it? That doesn't look like a requirement.
Right.
I'm reading through John. It doesn't say you have to do any of those things.
Right.
And like I said, I wish you would do them all. I wish you have a good home.
Right.
You know? But everybody's got the freedom to do what they want.
That's right.
I got some friend's house that I go to, and I got to wear a coat. They got the freedom to keep their thermostat or whatever they want to keep it. I got some friend's house that I go to and I can keep my shoes on the whole time I'm at their house. I can walk around their house, on their floors, on their carpet with my dirty shoes. And they make me just feel comfortable. Have a seat. Now at my house, don't wear a coat. You'll burn up. Miss Courtney, keep that thermostat hot. And at my house, just like you had your freedom to let you wear your shoes, you got to take yours off. I don't want your dirty shoes on my floor. I don't want your dirty shoes on my rug. I want you to take them off. I give you the freedom to do what you want in your house. I got the freedom to do what I want in my house. You got the freedom to preach how you want to preach. I got the freedom to preach how I want to preach. You got the freedom to see God how you want to see it. I got the freedom to see God how I want to see it. I'm free. See, I got a clear understanding of what's going on in here. I know that God is pleased to dwell here.
Amen.
So you can't change me now. I know he's happy to be here.
Yeah.
Oh, before I'd go, well, maybe I need to step up here. Maybe I need to step up there. And there's a truth to it. I will not be satisfied till I wake in his likeness.
Right.
Oh, until my other two rims are changed, then I'll be satisfied. Oh, I'll be satisfied then. But until then, I know that's not possible right now.
Right.
And I know he's pleased to dwell in this house that he created. He had to get my grandmother with my grandfather, my mother with my father, my this with my that, to get the makeup, to get the eye color, get the height, get the stature, get the attitude, get the confidence, get the boldness, get the color. He had to do all that to get this, and you want me to change? Get out of my face. You don't even know God. Where were you when the sons of God shouted for joy? Where were you when he was making this? Where were you when he was putting this together? See, he's the God of variety. No snowflake is the same. No leaf is the same. No blade of grass is the same. And you want me to look like you? Get out of my face, Satan. That sounds manufactured. That sounds Henry Fordish. That sounds like something that if you could duplicate, God ain't in it. Soon as you start to denominate, duplicate, God leaves the picture. Soon as they got together and said, we're all Baptists because we're all going to do this, God said, see you later. We're all Pentecosts because we all believe this. And we're all going to do this. And we're going to hold these rules true and evident. And we're going to hold them sacred. We're all going to do these same rules. We're all going to look alike. We're going to speak alike. Testify alike. We'll sing the same songs. And nobody will be out of order. And God said, see ya. I'm out of here, bub. As soon as you denominate and start duplicating, God rolls out. That's not God. That means Satan's in there. That means God won't even get the glory out of it. Whenever the picture starts favoring that God won't get the glory, he leaves the picture quick. There's another story where God was sending an army down to fight, and they had gathered up a ton of good fighters. Thousands of them. Gideon's army. Bunch of fighters. God looked down and was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Of course y'all win. Got thousands of people. Yeah, that's y'all go get some water. Go down by the water and drink. And anybody that don't drink a certain way, send them home. They were like, well, we're down in the hundreds now. He was like, that's better. Now when you win, I'll get the glory. I'll get the glory. They'll know who did it now. They'll know it was impossible without God. I'm that same way. Oh, I'm that same way. God had to bring me up on the rough side of the tracks. Bring me up on the way that the church world would have hated. Baby born out of wedlock
African American from Dayton, singing and dancing, does this, does that. And God said, when he gets up to preach, I'll get the glory. They'll say, ain't no way that boy could have got it on his own. Ain't no way he could have did it on his own. God must be in there. So now you want me to change? Get out of my face. I've seen God too much for myself to know he's real. You can't make me doubt him now. Oh, I've seen him move in every facet of my life. Before I was saved, I've seen God move. When I was saved, I've seen God move. Since I've been saved, I've seen God move. And guess what? At every turn, I've kept up with God. I'm running for Jesus a long time, and I ain't tired yet. Oh, my. I love y'all. God bless you. Pastor Moore.
That's yours.
Amen. You earned that. You earned that water. My goodness. Temporal versus eternal. The more he talked about, the more I realized, you know, we spend too much time looking at temporary stuff. Way too much time on stuff that ain't even going to last half the time you live.
Amen.
I mean, whatever you get involved with is going to get old.
Yes, whatever.
You say, oh, I'm going to go out chase after these young girls. You know, after a while, you're going to stop running. Young or not, you're going to get old. You're going to say, oh, I'm a good-looking young lady. I'm going to get me all the best-looking guys in town. You know what? After a while, they're going to stop looking at you. You say, I'm real healthy, I eat healthy, I'm this and that, and you know what? Eventually, you'll still die. I mean, name it. All of those things are temporary. And we spend more time trying to fix up something temporary. I love that, Jay. Fixing up something that's temporary and ignoring the eternal. That's what I said last Sunday. I said, you got to realize that soul, that's from last Wednesday night with Brother Allen. That soul is the only part of you that's eternal. I don't care how you clean it up. I don't care how you make it up. I don't care how what you drop, what you pick up, what you set down. All of that stuff is temporary. And it's not that we're saying, well, you just need to just go and just live like the devil and just enjoy the world. No. You know what? You're going to live after that eternal life that's in you. And you're going to do it because you love him. You're not going to do it because if you don't, you're going to hell. Hell is, as brother Tommy Parnell will say, hell is not even in the picture. You know, I'm not going to hell no matter what I do. You say, well, I can't say that. Well, then you need a new birth. Because you're still looking at something temporal.
Amen.
When I say that, I'm looking at the eternal. Because I know my flesh is not going to last. I know my spirit's not going to last. My flesh is getting worse every day. It's getting older. I got down there to work out, and I got on the floor. And I said, the way I got down there, I looked like an old man.
Yeah.
I looked at myself and said, Nate, you're looking old. So I thought, you know what? When I get up, I'm going to hop up a little faster.
Yeah.
So I got up and tried to act a little bit healthy. But I'm like, you know what? It's just natural.
After a while,
it just catches up with you. And you don't get down and you don't get up like you used to. You, when you used to stand up and you put your socks on, after a while, you got to sit down. It all gets old. It's all temporal.
Amen.
And we spend so much time on that temporary stuff. And the only thing that about you that will last is that soul that's on the inside of the inside. And we get the new birth and forget about it. And then we start hammering the house.
Yeah.
We start hammering the spirit. We start saying how bad we are and how I should be more like Brother Don, or I should be more like my Brother Jay, or I should be like, and we start comparing ourselves with our own temporary lives.
Yeah.
And ain't going nowhere anyway.
Amen.
Don loves God just like I love God.
Right.
Jay loves God just like I love God.
Amen.
I don't have to compare my soul with his soul.
No.
We're both eternal. All three of us are eternal.
Amen.
Oh, Jay might like to drive fast. Don might drive slow. And I might want to drive at all.
Right.
But that's all temporary.
That's right.
And we spend more time trying to make this temporary look eternal when it's not going to be eternal no matter how you fix it.
Amen.
Like I said Sunday, you know, that GPS got the destination marked.
That's right.
No matter how you get there, that destination is already set in there. I've got a destination for glory. And whether I take a left turn, right turn, whether I drive it fast or slow, it recalculates everything. You know, if I drive too slow, it'll recalculate the time I'm going to get there.
Amen.
And we spend so much time worrying about, oh, I got to match Jay. Jay preached really good tonight. I better do a better job Sunday. If I don't do a good job Sunday, then Jay's got it and I don't. We compare ourselves with ourselves. And we're comparing ourselves with temporary things. Oh, I might live better than you. Don't compare yourself to that. Or I might live worse than you. Don't compare yourself to that. You look at me and say, man, that man loves the Word of God.
Amen.
And you say, well, I love the Word of God. Compare yourself to that. I have a love for the truth, and you have a love for the truth.
Right.
Compare yourself to that.
Yeah.
And leave all this other temporary stuff alone. You say, we're trying to mass produce a church that everybody looks alike. You'll never do it.
No, sir. Right. Amen. You have a denomination.
You'll have another denomination.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you say, well, we don't call ourselves a denomination. Well, you are.
Yeah.
If everybody in your church wearing the same clothes, looking the same, talk the same, act the same, live the same, no variety at all, where's God?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I get no thrill out of having everybody in this place act just alike.
No.
Matter of fact, I get nervous.
Yeah.
Amen. If I see everybody coming in with flannel shirts like Don, I'm like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Now, you might be one or two. Now, Ted's got on a flannel shirt, but it don't look like Don's. If everybody went to the same store, got the same shirt, and it looked like a little... A little Catholic school. Everybody wear the same suit, same pants, same dress, same. We got all everybody looking just alike. Everybody talking just alike, sound just alike. I'm not even impressed with everybody sounding alike. Matter of fact, y'all make me nervous if I see too many. I'll cut. You know I've done it. Somebody get up. Oh, I want to repent today, cause I should have got up and I didn't. And then they just say, but they get and they sit down. Next person get up. Oh, I need to repent today because I should have got up and I didn't. I'm stuck. Whoa. Wait a minute. Now, third person get up. Oh, I should repent today because I should have got up and didn't. I'll change the order of service. I say, stop it. I don't want anybody else to talk about how they didn't do what God asked them to do today. Period. Matter of fact, no more singing, no more testimony. I'm going to preach. Because, see, men have a tendency to follow men. You see something that looks good, we want to replicate it. But that's not God. God's a God of variety. And that's why people get amazed at our church. Say, how do you keep black people and white people? And you got Filipinos, and you got this, and you got that, and you got... It's got all kind of people in your church, you know, because I don't cater to nobody. I don't cater to the blacks. I don't cater to the whites. I don't even cater to the Filipinos. Because I'm looking at one thing. That's the soul. That's the Word of God. If you can eat the Word of God, you can stay here. If you come here and try to pattern yourself after somebody else, then I will put skates under you and send you somewhere where you can duplicate yourself. Because some people like working in a factory.
Yeah, right.
I never could do it.
Right.
I did it. But the whole time I was in there doing it, I was wanting to get something better.
Yeah.
I was knocking out, punching out headstocks, grinding headstocks, doing them. You get finished one, you pick up the next and look just like the last one.
Yeah.
The only thing is, you got to do the same thing to that one as you did to the other one. I just finished it. Now I got to do it again.
Yeah.
Start grinding that one, knocking out the holes and getting all done. When I got finished, like, there, I'm done. Look around. There's a whole skid of them. And they all look just alike. That's called manufacturing. When I get finished working with one of you saints, and you get on the right trail, and you're doing the right thing, and I turn around, and I see another one with the exact same problem, exact same state, looking at the exact same person I just finished dealing with. There's a problem there. you're looking at something temporary. We need to focus on the eternal. Eternal things. Only what you do for Christ will last. Be an individual. And don't judge each other by each other. We have people judging our church by other churches. You know, we went out last weekend to a different church. We went there. They got their own style. They do their own thing. I get in there and get with them. I'm just as happy to be with them and to do what they're doing while they're doing it. But you know what? I'm going home. And when I go home, I'm going to act just like I act. I'm not going to come here and try to say, okay, now we need the electric guitar like Brother Peterson's. We need to have some real fancy this and that. And we gotta do all this. And no. That's them. This is us. I don't go to other churches to try to find out how I can make us like them. See, I'm getting ready to go to the Philippines. I'm going to smack them when I get there because they're all wanting each other to be like each other, and they can't get along to fellowship because they're looking at temporal things.
Amen.
I want them to fellowship around the Word. You know, if you're fellowship around the Word, I don't care whether you like to fish, whether you like to hunt, whether you don't like none of it. Whether you like meat, whether you're vegetarian. It none of that matters when you're focusing on the eternal.
Amen.
So when we come in this house, I want you focusing on the eternal.
Amen.
That's why we don't care who gets up to preach. Because it's not about the preacher. It's about what's coming out of him.
Right.
He could be a Roman Catholic priest. I'd get him up here.
That's right.
And you say, why would you let a Roman Catholic priest get up here? Because I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to pull every bit of the word out of him. He may have never preached in his life. He gonna preach tonight. So I'm gonna pull the word out. That's why the brother's coming to visit. Some of the one brother, he had his notes from where he preached another time. He got up here and he's like, I don't know what's wrong. This ain't, I ain't preaching this like I preached it the other day. I'm like, I know why.
Right.
Pulling the word out of him.
Yeah.
So see, you can't even preach. When I go to Philippines, I'm going to take some notes with me, some message that we preach here to preach there.
Right.
But you know, I know already when I go to preach it there, it's not going to be the same. And I'm not going to be mad about it. All I do is present the vessel and let God tell us what he wants to have us to know. And I look at Jay tonight. He got up there first thing and everybody coming in late like, what? Is my watch wrong? What's... No, God said, Jay, get up there, sing two songs, and then preach.
Amen.
He said, well, that's terrible. Because what if people come late? You shouldn't be late. It's your fault, not Jay. Jay's just obeying God, and you didn't. He said, well, why y'all start so early? Because it's a new service. And we run it the way God wants it. Every one of our services are different. Sometime we stand up and read the Bible. Sometime we sit down. Sometime we pray before we preach. Sometime we pray when we're finished preaching. Sometime the preachers get up and preach. Jay, you didn't pray when you got finished. That's all right now. You done messed up. But that's what happens when you start listening to God.
Amen.
Jesus never, when you read the Bible, he never went anywhere and said the same thing twice.
Right.
You said, well, I can read it in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Yes, he did. No, he didn't, Satan.
Amen.
It's their viewpoint.
Right, right.
It wasn't Jesus repeating himself. It's from where they were sitting, how they saw God moving.
Amen.
But Jesus never did the same thing anywhere he went. God never did the same thing. He never created two animals alike, two people alike, two anything alike. Name me two things that are just exactly alike. If you get twins... There's differences. God made sure that ain't nobody going to be able to find two things of his alike. Tell me two things that God has that are just alike. You'll never do it. Trees, they don't even grow the same way. You can have the same tree, and the every one of them will have a different shape, a different look. You say, well, I got all pines. Well, you have all pines, but one grew this way, one grew that way. One lean this way, one lean that way, one went straight up. Some you have to stake, some you don't. God ain't, he's not going to give us anything that's going to show us anything other than us looking at the eternal.
Amen.
Amen. Don't spend your time on temporal things. It's good. Work on them. Please, work on them till Jesus comes.
Right.
I ask you to do it. Work on your life. Don't just get up and say, well, I'm only going to focus on the eternal, so I ain't going to do nothing. Get out of that ditch. You should be pressing towards the mark. You should be doing the best you can do. Maybe the best you can do is not as good as Jay. But I didn't say do the best that Jay can do. You do 100% of whatever wattage you are. If you're a 60-watt bulb and I plug in a screw in a 60-watt bulb and I turn that light switch on, I expect 60 watts.
That's right.
Not 100.
No, no.
And I ain't going to bust the bulb because it's only giving me 60. That's all it can do.
That's right.
And we dog each other because we don't live up to your standard. Because I'm not 100 watt. I'm sorry, I'm only a 60. Talk to the maker. If he wanted me 100 watt, I'd be 100 watt. But you know what? I'm not going to be a 60 watt and only give you 40. I'm going to give you all 60.
Amen.
You might only be a 20. You might just be a little nightlight. But you know what? Nightlights come in handy. They got a purpose just like every. So everybody in the body has a purpose. But the only thing we have in common is that soul, that eternal soul that is just abiding time down here to get rid of this flesh and this spirit to go to a house that's not made by man's hands. This house was made by man's hand. But I got another one waiting on me. Eternal in the heavens. So get your eyes off this temporal. You say, well, you let me down. I wish you were better. I let myself down. I wish I was better. But you know what? I'm not going to spend too much time on that because this too shall pass. Everything that's temporal will pass. Everything. So don't spend too much time polishing the hubcaps. Don't spend too much time washing the car. Get the spark and the gas together. Get the word and the life of Christ in you. And then after that, he'll do with you what he wants to in his time. I like what Jay said. He says, you know, don't get mad at me. God's the one to give revelation. If I don't have as much revelation as you, don't send me to hell. Pray for me. Because I got Nate over here. He don't understand some things. He needs a deeper revelation. And I can't explain it to him and give it to him, but Lord, I know you can because you're the only giver of revelation. And if you never give it to him, me holding it over his head ain't going to help. All it's going to do is drive a wedge between me and my brother, and next thing you know, we're not talking to each other, and we're fussing and fighting and arguing and splitting each other up and going around or making our own churches somewhere and camp fellowship and on and on and on. You know, you've seen the cycle. But focus on the Word of God, because heaven and earth will pass away, but His Word shall never pass away. Temporal versus eternal, part two. It's good, Jay. I enjoyed it. Come on, musicians. And continue to remember, Jay, he might look like he's 100%. He might preach like the house on fire. But he's still recovering, so you keep him in your prayers and keep the body in your prayers. Remember Don and Jan and family as they get ready for the funeral for Friday. And we'll have Don and them send out a text on the address and things if somebody wants to come. I think the viewing is at 1. The funeral's at 3 on Friday, and then the committal is going to be Saturday. So we'll send that information out to you.
Good to be here. Just really quick. Trevor ate last night. I was happy about that.
Amen.
I want to share that. Amen. And on the board in the back, I just want to remind, next week's March. It's March starts, so we have a mowing list. We're looking for 2 leads each month. So it's not.
What does
just
that mean? I saw that back there. So what's a lead?
Just 2 people. 2 people for each month. We don't want to put the burden just on one person. So make sure you sign up for the mowing schedule.
Thank you. All business. Kevin.
Well, I wanted to get up and testify. That was a great message. I mean, it was. I'm so glad we can come to a church that we're free.
Amen.
You know what? I'm glad I don't have to be like everybody else. I want to be Kevin.
You
at the end
should
of the day,
be.
I want to be me.
Yes,
I don't want to be in bondage or nothing like that. I mean, at the end of the day, even if I love cars, because I get slack about cars.
Oh, you do love cars.
I do. Anybody know I love cars. But you know what? I love God.
Amen.
I mean, don't worry about the car situation. What do I do with cars? I love God. I do. I love God. I mean, you don't have to force me to come to church. I know what time church starts. I know what time. You know, I love this. I love this church. I do. You don't have to force me to come here. Mm-hmm. I want the word.
Amen.
Good or bad. God is going to break me over the coals. Okay. I'm still going to be here.
Amen.
I mean, I don't worry about that. I mean, I thank God that God allows me to step up. You know what I mean? I don't have to be complacent. I mean,
Right. Especially
if you fall short. I mean, mm-hmm. I thank God I have an ear to hear.
Amen.
I mean, so I love that. And another thing I wanted to mention, too, I told Pastor Moore last week.
You mentioned.
We'll talk to you about it. Sorry. Not mentioned, but I am getting married.
I'm glad you finally said it. I was burning him.
I told Pastor Warren, I know he was just like, what? And I said, yes, it's time. Me and Sway have been dating for about 6 years now. And I will say this, though, you know, dating, you know, I told her, marriage is a very serious thing. You just don't hop into something like that. You just don't. Mm-hmm. And I want to take my time with Sway. I wanted us to grow as each other. I mean, she had a rough background. You know, I'm not going to elaborate. She went through a lot. And I told her when I met her, I said, God was with you. I mean, you might not have had this revelation here, but for you to come through what you came through, God was with you.
Amen.
I mean, she has, and she's been a light. She's been by my side. I mean, I love the girl to death. I do. I mean, and then she loves his word.
Mm-hmm.
That's more important than anything.
Amen.
She loves his word. Let's just say that. She loves his word. I don't have to fight her to come to church. And she loves his body.
Mm-hmm.
She does. So I just want to say that. Right now, the date is August 18th. It's on Friday at 3 o'clock. And it'll be here.
Why did I think it was 19th?
Well, we switched to the 18th because of the venue.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's
a little bit on my calendar.
The 18th at 3 o'clock. And so far, right now, everybody in the body is welcome to come.
So far, yeah.
I gotta work some things out.
Months between now and then, you might get mad at us.
Right. But I just want to thank everybody. I love everybody here, and I just love the word. I do. I love this place, and I just thank God for what we get here. I do. So. That's all I want to say.
Amen.
Just a quick praise report. My shoulders is doing much better.
Amen.
I'm going through physical therapy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it wasn't exactly, I thought it might be a miraculous healing. But,
amen.
You know, somebody I had to meet, I suppose. But,
that's
you know,
it.
It's good, but this is I just went through my second session, and my range of motion or movement has dramatically improved.
Amen.
And it's, you know, there's still some work to do, but it's where my shoulders aren't bothering me as much. So
amen.
I want to thank God for that.
Amen.
And then on a lighter note, something I had said a long time ago that I mentioned about my little dog. He was always afraid of the linoleum, and I exposed him to it, and I said sooner or later he's going to get into the other dog's dog food, which he's not supposed to do, because the food might be poisonous to him. But he finally put two and two together, and now he snuck over into the linoleum and got into the other dog's food. And the reason why I brought that up is, because I was thinking about, you know, one of these, you know, the revelation in us clicks, you know, we get exposed to it, and you know, sooner or later, it's just going to click.
It'll click.
And I just saw my dog do it today, and I just had to chuckle. And I remembered that testimony that I gave a while back, and I go, yep, there it is in motion.
Yeah.
So I thank God for the little things.
Amen. Amen. Sister Michelle. So y'all testifying at the end of service, which is good.
I just want to thank God for being here. He is so amazing. And I'm so glad for this church, for the revelation, for our pastor, for the ministry, for the body. It's no other like this out there. It's not that cares for us, that takes care of us, that's thinking about us, that sacrificed their life for us. And I'm so thankful for my son. I just, you know, people were calling me and my family, and they would say, you know, how's he doing, blah, 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 blah. I said, God's greater than that.
Yes. Amen.
And that was my testimony. Mm-hmm. God's greater than that. No matter what circumstance you in, God is greater than that circumstance.
That's exactly
God
right.
is the God of circumstance. Okay. So when you lean on that, the ups and the downs and what the doctor say and everything, I was like, God's got this. God's got it. He's got it before we even knew he had a problem.
That's right.
You know, it's like he had it before the foundation of the world. Why am I worried? He does not need my help. He needs for me to rest and believe that he is God and believe his word. You are healed from the beginning of the world.
Right.
So it's like, why can't I believe that? Whatever form that takes is still the truth.
Amen.
And I'm just so thankful. Just so thankful for this word. And so thankful for this church. And so thankful for this body. I'm just, I'm overjoyed that he allowed me to be here. Because at any point when everybody was walking out, I could have been one walked out.
Because
mm-hmm. you have a choice.
Oh, yeah.
You have a choice.
Yes, you do.
And the choice was, I have to stay with this word, no matter
Amen.
Who walks out. So, and as for me and my house,
there you go.
You know, I was like, I'm not just saying it, I lived it.
Amen.
For me and my house, I was staying here. So
Amen.
I just want to thank God.
Amen. Amen. Yes, sir.
I just want to thank God for being here. You know, this I love this place. Like you said, Sister Michelle, it's for me and my house. So
mm-hmm.
it's, I just love God. I'm sorry. I'm nervous. I need to calm down.
That's all right.
It's all right, Dave.
I know where God is. He's here.
Mm-hmm.
And I know he's in here, too.
Amen.
I love that. And it's because his word it keeps me going.
Amen.
You know? And I wouldn't change for it. Nothing else.
No,
anything
sir.
Else. I'm always going to be here. So.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, God.
God bless you. Amen. Brother Deskin.
You know how the word comes forth. And, you know, you think about how people expect you to worship, you know. Well, I remember a time down in Kentucky when Adam was preaching, you know. And everybody's on the floor, and it was
oh,
so
yeah.
loud, I couldn't hear what he had to say. I can't worship unless I hear the word.
That's it.
You know, you want to see me worship, you let the word come forth.
Yeah,
I may be all over myself, you know, other times, but when that word comes forth, that's where my worship kicks
Amen.
In. That's what I love. That's what I rejoice in. You know, in the beginning, the word was with God. Word was God. You know, I can't worship the word without worshiping God. I can't worship God without worshiping the word. And I so appreciate this word's come forth tonight. You know, Jay, you just... if you hadn't got up so early, my testimony would have been the same thing. God dealing with all these things strong.
Amen.
You know, it's you and God. You know, it's you and God.
That's
my
it.
Life and God. I've seen that so strong. You know he wanted a many membered body. He wanted a variety.
He did.
He don't want anything manufactured, cookie cutter. You know, and you see that, and it just makes you sick.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you see it in the world. You know, even not spiritual people, they want to cookie cut everything. Everybody's got to think this way. Everybody got to be this way. Everybody got to accept this and reject that. You know, no, get away from me.
That's
Let
it.
Me be me.
Amen.
It's the way God made me. You know,
That's right.
my measure of my wattage, my measure of faith, whatever it is, that, you know, let me shine.
Amen.
And, you know, I do shine. And
oh,
I don't
yeah.
stutter a bit in that. You know, I'm a blessed man. I don't condemn myself in anything that
mm-hmm.
I allow.
Mm-hmm.
I'm flesh. Absolutely, I'm flesh.
Oh, yeah.
I do things flesh does. But that which is flesh is flesh.
Right.
And that which is spirit is spirit.
Amen.
And to see how God can dwell in carnal flesh, it's recognize who you are.
Amen.
you don't get, you know, that's the ultimate to me.
It
really is. That's the freedom to me. That's the joy, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Build your hopes on things eternal.
Amen.
Yeah. These things that below, I don't even care. You know. Brother Childers said one thing, you know, I was thinking about the other day. He said, I don't even try to live good.
Mm-mm.
You know, about knocked everybody down at the time, but I can say it. I don't even try to live good.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I'm a son of God led by the Spirit of God. That's not a question. That's not
no.
something I try to do.
I'm not trying
it's something
to
do. I do every
Amen.
Single day of my life with every heartbeat.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen. I think God smiles at us when we realize who's in here and stop worrying about who's out here. You know, because God wanted to walk on the earth. He didn't just want to be over there. He could have waited to get a glorified over there with us and to be all in all. But he actually wanted to walk down this earth and smile in the devil's mustache and let the devil know that he's got a group of people now on the earth that knows what it is. And when you get that group of people, then the rapture can come. Because, you know, God didn't want to just do it over there. He wanted to do it over here. He wanted us to be able to stand up knowing that we are eternal, knowing that we have three realms, and walk in this ungodly generation and hold our head up high.
Amen.
And let the devil know that he don't even have anything on us. That's the best thing that God could have done, and that's what he wanted to do, and that's what he's doing now. He's got a group of people now, and he's in trouble. He's not. And he said, well, there's not a lot of us. It don't have to be a lot of us. You know, I'm glad he said we're two and three are gathered. So I say, I still got a lot of people I can get rid of in here before he stops coming. But I ain't trying to get rid of you, not really. I just want to keep the believers here. Everybody else can enjoy this world because everything is temporary. Amen. I worship you, Almighty God. There is none like you. One page 167 in the choruses. Remember the deskins and the funeral arrangements coming up. Remember our services. Easter's coming up. We're going to have services on Palm Sunday, the week before Easter. And Brother Tony's going to be preaching the services, and we'll get that posted. And then after that Sunday, I'm Lord willing, Brother Doug and I will be heading out on Monday early, heading towards the Philippines. Pray for this trip there. We're still coordinating, getting things ready. They've got, Brother June's got preachers that's going to come down from Manila, about 15 that wants to be in the services. And Brother Victor's got about 15 from the Mindanao Islands and the different areas over there that he's trying to get there. And then you got Victor's church, and you've got June's church, and then you've got, I'm trying to get a hold of, it used to be Brother Winston's church. I don't know who the pastor is there now. His son? And I probably know him because I knew Winston's family. His son was probably a little boy then. But so I like to see them. So there's some getting together because I want them to be able to fellowship and not get bogged down in all this political message jargon. It's not, I was too late. And I don't care. You know, I just really don't. I don't try to go to convert people or to get saints. I just want fellowship so that we can all be in fellowship together. That's why I want here. That's why I love going to Brother Peter's and going wherever we go. I like to bring us together under the word, not under my likes and dislikes and my church versus your church. It's the word of God. That's the only thing that matters. And that's where our worship comes from. So come back on Sunday expecting Sunday morning and pray, and let's see what God has in store for us. Amen. I'm not sure what key that is. I worship you, Almighty God. There is none like you. I worship you, Prince of Peace. That is all I long to do. I'll give you praise, for you are my rock. Almighty God.
Almighty God, there is none like you. Oh, I worship you, O Prince of Peace. That is what I long to do. That's all I want. I'll give you praise, for you are my righteousness. Oh, I worship you.